Hey, I'm Anderson Cooper. Welcome to the 360 Podcast. A young passenger, not the crew, makes the first distress call on that South Korean ferry. And the search for Flight 370 could be entering a whole new phase. Let's get started. Our Kyung La is on the water right now, joins us with the latest. So once again tonight, you're outside the search area. What is going on with the effort right now? I know the death toll has risen pretty dramatically today.
It's risen to 128, Anderson, but it is still a frantic search. And you can tell just by looking right over my shoulder. If you can see, there are a number of divers who are parked right at the spot where the sunken ferry is 65 feet below those buoys and that orange, that yellow crane that you're looking at. Those orange inflatables, some of them are not filled with people because those divers are underwater right now. This is dangerous. This is very, very arduous. They are feeling their way through the sunken ferry because they can't see more than a foot in front of them, combing through this area inch by inch. And because they can't see, they are worried about their own safety as well because they can be hit by floating furniture. Now, the Navy did say that they have six divers who they have treated for pressure issues. They, Anderson, have been seen inside pressure chambers in order to be able to continue to dive. So a very difficult and dangerous task still happening here off of Jindo Island.
And there were more arrests today as well of crew members, correct?
Yes, two more crew members, bringing the total number of arrests to 9. This is certainly looking more like a criminal investigation every single day. And we got a little clarity from those crew members about what happened in those final moments. The big question, why weren't the lifeboats deployed? Well, one of the crew members said that he or she could simply not reach it. The button was too far away because the boat had already listed to its side. The natural question, why didn't you hit it sooner? We don't know that. The other thing that we did learn is that the crew members are saying it wasn't that they hit anything. It was that the balance of the ship felt wrong. Anderson?
And the ships behind you, they seem pretty widely spaced out. Why is that?
Because what we're looking at now, a week in, it has been a week now since this accident happened. Take a look. You can see that there are a number of ships all around us. Some of those ships, especially the blue ones, have trawlers out to their side, large nets, and they're going back and forth across this area. Why? Because of bodies drifting out to sea. That is a type of horror that this country simply says it cannot stand. They want to bring the bodies of these 15 and 16-year-old children back home. Anderson.
Kyung Lau reporting. I appreciate it. I want to bring in the panel, Merchant Marine Captain and Maritime Safety Instructor James Staples, Kim Peterson, Governor Emeritus of the Maritime Security Council and President of Security Dynamics. Captain Staples, let me start with you. The idea that a young man who now is presumably among the missing aboard the ship was able to call Korean authorities and sound the alarm 3 minutes before an actual call from the ship came. Does that surprise you?
Oh, absolutely. Disheartening. It just shows the indecision on the crew's part, which, again, is going to go back to the training. We need to find out where the captain was at the time that this call was made. And to be fair to him, we have to know if the captain was even on the bridge at that time. I haven't had a timeline on that, so I can't say. But, yes, this is totally disheartening, especially when a young boy, a high school child, makes an emergency call over a seasoned captain.
And what is there a procedure for calling authorities? I mean, is it? I read that it's the captain who, in terms of the ship personnel, it's the captain who has to make that distress call. Is that true?
Generally, that's true. The captain is the one that will put the distress call on. It's usually a mayday call that they'll put out.
So somebody on the bridge would wait for the captain to decide to make that call?
It would depend if the captain may have been become incapacitated at some point. If the captain had been killed in an accident, then somebody else would have to make that decision, and it usually would fall to the second in command, which would be the chief mate.
But you said, I mean, in your experience, when you're on a ship, you're very much in tune with that ship. So even if you're down in your compartment, you can sense if something's going wrong or feel something's going wrong and call up to the bridge, right?
Absolutely. Anybody that's gone to sea for any time will tell you that even while they're sound asleep in the bed, they'll know immediately if something has happened to that ship. You'll be able to tell if someone's taken too sharp of a turn or if something shut down with the ventilation or any part of the vibration of the ship has started. You're part of that ship if you've been on that ship for a while. You really know your vessels.